Quiet, please.
You're listening to Birdies and Bogeys, hosted by Jordan Bloxham and Weston Mon, bringing you golf's week in review, recapping your favorite tournaments with professional insight from their perspective. Now, quiet, please. Here's your hosts, Jordan and Weston.
Weston, how are you this evening?
Oof, I am ready to talk some golf.
Done. Getting ready some, get this done so you can go continue and enjoy the beach life.
Yeah, good old California.
It's not bad out there. Good weather.
Weather is fantastic. Temperature's great. I did happen to sell a putter to a guy who lived down here, really close. So I was like, oh, well, why don't we just meet up and I'll hand deliver it.
Oh, nice.
Got a raw carbon putter. And this thing was not only in a head cover, but then the head cover was then wrapped in plastic. And this thing was in my hotel for a couple of days before I delivered it. And dude, anything that was even remotely potentially exposed to the air started to patina immediately. I was like, holy cow, it is like rust central down here. And I was like, I probably should have had some raw heads out here that I could just set in the open and just
with that beautiful ocean air.
Oh my gosh, it is so vicious to steal. So pretty crazy to see that. It was all wrapped up, but whatever was exposed just started to brown. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's nuts. Hope you're enjoying it out there. It's great weather here. So good stuff. Let's hop right in. All there was golf. Not a lot of ancillary stuff. I guess there was. We'll talk about it a little bit, but Tom Kim continues to be the darling. What is it? Dubbing him now? I'm dubbing him now the darling of the PGA Tour. Right. So who I saw a post and it was like, you know, it was like list of players who the PGA Tour cannot let go to the LIV Tour, and it was like Tom Kim, Scottie Scheffler, Tom Kim. Somebody else, Tom Kim. Tom Kim. Oh, and then it gets down to the bottom of like the list of 10, which every other one's Tom Kim, and is like, oh, by the way, and Tom Kim. And it's like they're riding this guy. This guy's got he does have a really good, like, fun personality. But he's coming down, him and I didn't watch really any of the first 3 days of it.
Yeah.
And watched the final day, a little bit of it. A good portion of it. And after Patty Ice fires a 60, I think, in the third round to tie. They were both tied at 1900, I believe. But Tom Kim kind of came out, pushed out ahead, and Cantlay birdies two, gets tied, and then they do some things, and then they get tied. They're tied going into 18, and Tom Kim just rips one down the middle right after Cantlay decides that he wants to hit a little snapper into a bush, ends up making 7. Kim hits it on easy par. Goes bogey free too in the tournament. Bogey free, 24 under. lots of birdies to win. And so he's kind of becoming that guy, right? The new guy now that
he's got
new young talent. He's only 20 years old, so he is new and young.
He's new. He showed up a little bit at the Ryder Cup, and that was exciting. But now he's winning on the PGA Tour, so big confidence boost there.
Yeah, this is the second one. He's won earlier in the year, too. Well, in last season. I guess it would be last season there. But, yeah, he's two wins now. He's got six international victories. So, that's not bad. He's going to not too bad for his first little stint. He won the Wyndham Championship last year. Still a couple top tens. Just missed going to the Tour Championship by a few shots. So he's up and comer. Up and comer for sure. And then John Rahm goes on to win this DP World Tour. I can't remember what exactly they call it. Spanish Open is what it is. But they call it the Senia Open de España. But he goes in as a heavy favorite in a weak field and wins. But I mean, sometimes that's easier said than done, right? When you come in as a huge favorite, you got all that pressure on you. He comes in and wins, but I think Ron made more noise with his comments during the week than he did his actual play. So he's got, earlier in the week, he comes out and says, hey, everybody should play in the Ryder Cup, whether they're on live or not, right?
Totally.
And which we agree with, right? There's a way for them to coexist, whether the current commissioner thinks so or not. But then he goes on. But then he goes on in his acceptance speech to congratulate the LIV Tour champion, Eugenio Lopez Chacara, on his victory. They're both, you know, he is a filler Spaniard, but in his speech, he basically said, I know we're supposed to hate these guys, but congrats on your first win, Eugenio. You know,
that's huge.
Well done. So,
yeah. I'll tell you what, if the players took a poll, I bet they would give a completely different answer than what
top couple they're giving. Even though, it would be way closer, like not everybody on the tour, even the ones that came out a little bit, like I'm not going. I don't think that the sentiment would be quite as harsh as Monahan and Rory would let you believe on that. So it's good, but I mean, this is exactly what LIV Tour wants. They want some young, right? Why they got Eugenio, who was a second or third ranked amateur that was getting set to come back for his senior year at Oklahoma State. And then LIV said, hey, how about we pay you $15 million? Whatever, it was 10 to 15 million. Why don't we pay you 10 to 15 million and you come play and then get a chance to earn more money? Now he's got a win and his team won. So he wins 4.75 this week. So that's a pretty good week.
Yeah.
But, you know, and then in other LIV news, They formed a strategic partnership with the Minotaur, which hasn't played a tournament since before the pandemic, but they're already eligible for, or they were getting OWGR points. So technically,
is that just because the league itself had OWGR, or they needed a feeder league to check the box?
No, Mana was getting points before they shut down their tour, basically, and it was just standing, right? It was just on hold. So who knows what it is. They came out and said, hey, now they're getting them. But now the power of the beer, like, hold on. You know, so it's unknown. But if they start helping the Minotaur out and Minotaur starts playing tournaments, then and the LIV just kind of rolls in, or they purchase the Minotaur and buy its rights. And then their players are Minotaur members. I don't know.
Dude, how this whole thing is playing out is like, like, it's got to be the PGA Tour's worst nightmare, because they're like, again, if they'd done nothing, things would have probably been completely different. But now that they've done something, it's like, now they're really going to put together a dynamic product that checks all the boxes and is a true competitor. So it's pretty crazy.
Well, like I said, we were reading it earlier when we were trying to find some other information, but a rumor is that, and I've got to read the full story. I saw earlier that there's going to be changes to the LIV Tour, which those changes right in line with what they need to do, right? 72 holes with a cut. Probably adding some, and like getting this Minotaur, right? At some point, they're going to have to do it, because they will have no further.
No, totally.
No further reason to be like, well, they're not doing this and they're not doing this. Well, now they have a feeder tour, right? The men is going to become a way to qualify for the tour, right? Which through the Australasian, or I thought they already had one with the Asian tour, something. I can't remember the exact details of that, but they're doing things, and right, it's Greg Norman's like, okay, you don't want to work with us, you don't want to come to the table,
all
right, we're going to do some things. We might have to do it a little untraditional, but we're going to make it work so that our players get golf ranking points. They can play in the majors, this, and this, so that you can't ignore us. And then you have to come to the table, and then we can have a good working relationship. So that ought to be fun. Well, let's jump in and look at the what's in the bag of. We're going to do three. We're going to do the trifecta. But quickly, we'll spend a little bit more time on maybe a couple of them, just because Eugenio's new. Tom Kim, we I'm pretty sure we did when he won the Wyndham. So we've done his a little bit, but let's go through it and see if there's anything that really kind of stands out.
Well,
from the Shriners in Vegas.
Las Vegas. Well, it's got the new Titleist TSR3 in the bag on the driver, and that's pretty cool. I mean, it was just seeded a few months ago, and now it's definitely gaining a resume for victories. He's got a
I think both ball. I think his both his victories are with the TSR3. if I recall correctly.
But the oddball in the bag, to be honest, is this Callaway Rogue STLS 3-wood. So this thing really is just a beast of a 3-wood at 12.7 degrees. That is really low loft for a 3-wood.
But yeah, I mean, his driver's low is a lower, 9 degrees, A1. Now that's just the standard setting. But you see a lot of these guys kind of bumping it up. 13 turned down to a 12.7. Well, it's probably 13 and a half. It just specs out at 12.7, which he likes.
Exactly. No, those things are nasty. But then he jumps right into his irons. He's got a T200, 2 and 3 iron. And then he's got a T100, 4 through 9 iron. And throughout the bag, he's got Project X 6.0. And then I think
on the 2 iron, he has the Fujikura Black Hybrid.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Nice.
10X.
But I mean, the Titleist always makes the bag up well across their line. And that's just a really smart way to break it up with the T200 and the T100. And then on the wedges, he's got the SM9 and Vokey wedge wrap. He posted some pictures of them. They're beautiful. But he does have a 52-12F with a slight loft adjustment there.
Yeah.
But on the lob wedge, the 60 degree, actually 59. An A grind.
Yes. This is the
wedge. It's won a couple. It's a good grind.
Yeah. It's because I know that he posted Wedrip posted about it.
Yeah. A grind, I believe, is an L grind that's been kind of lost its edge. So it comes in there and just grinds down what kind of already existed.
Yeah, it just kind of takes it a little bit. Right, it doesn't have I'm trying to look at it from this, they don't show one from the side angle, but it's kind of got like the softness more of like an M grind, like the L grinds. Yeah, it's just a different grind, not quite as drastic as like a T, because it doesn't have there. So it's very versatile wedge of how they grind is for sure.
Yeah.
Very versatile. Like I said, there's not a ton of players who play it, right? He's the last one. He was the last one that we have talked about winning with the A grind. So, but it looks like something you could play. It's probably just, like I said, a little bit more subtle, not quite as aggressive as the T grind. But then his putter, say classic.
Yeah, and this is a beauty. I mean, obviously, it's been made for him, but it's all about your alignment, man. He's got the dot on the top line and the flange line.
Yeah. Yes, sir. We'll be finishing that up when you get back. We will be finishing that up when you get back.
Get some stamps into that.
Get some stamps so I can get a shaft on it. Although, I will say, with just the top dot, I went out and had a little at my childhood course that I grew up on. It was 400 through 6 holes with 5-1 putts through those 6 holes. So take it. Take it. Yeah. So yes, the Highland. I always want to call it the Highlander.
Highlander. There can be only one.
One. Yes, there you go. You got the reference. There you go.
All about it.
We know. We're on the same page here. But yeah, just classic. He's got the LA Golf shaft in it. Then he plays the Pro V1X. But now to the next one, which was a lot harder to find out. Eugenio.
Yeah. Yeah.
You need to just keep sending Greg. I need to start sending Greg messages now that now we need to tag team it where we're both sending him messages. Actually, there's a lady that I like got linked up with on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
That she's like media or something for the live tour. Maybe I'll shoot her a message and say, hey, you guys need somebody to do the what's in the bag.
Dude.
Whose ears do we get in? We like, can do this for you.
Honestly, they just need to buy us two tickets and we fly out there and it's super easy.
Yeah,
we'll run media for the main page and then just a equipment page dedicated just to that. Oh, people will eat that up. It'd be great.
It needs to be done. It needs to be done for that. Yep. I say that just need to cover expenses for the 4 days. That's it.
Yeah.
That should be nothing for them. That's like a drop in the bucket.
Just test it out. Well, you can even just group us in with the caddies and we'll just walk around with those guys.
Exactly.
Heard that's a good life.
For sure. But pulling it from, it was like Golf Review, I think iGolf Review or something. They gave just his basics, right? So it was a Ping G425 LST 10.5.
Yeah.
But then through some research, watching some video, and then going to his old what's in the bag from the Sanderson Farms last year, it's the hazardous black. Because they didn't even give the specs on it, but it's a six. I think it was a 6.5. And then the Ping G425 LSD 3-wood, 14.5 degrees. Like I said, he may do some adjustments to it, but it's hazardous black again. And then he goes right into the irons, right? This is two guys in a row that no high lofted fairway wood. And there he goes into the Ping Blueprints 3-iron through pitching wedge with Dynamic Gold Tour Issue X100s. Mm-hmm. And then goes into the SM9 52, 56, and 60 degree with S400s in them. Like I said, it would be nice to know a little bit more about these, but only can get what's available to us right now.
Yeah.
And then he switched. He was playing a sick putter in the Sanderson. Now he switched to the long putter split grip Odyssey 2-ball 11. So, and plays the Titleist, just the Pro V1.
There you go. Yeah, good. Pretty solid bag.
And now the Romster.
Oh, yeah. I had high hopes for all of this, but turns out very little happened.
Yeah. This one, I mean, we're getting the what's in the bag from 2022, but my guess is he hasn't changed anything, or August, so just a couple months ago. So, yeah, as of the FedEx. So, driver, Callaway Rogue ST, Triple Diamond, with his, like, he has got to be the only guy on tour playing the Aldila Tour Green ATX 75.
It's probably
2.8 ATX.
It's probably collecting them.
Right.
You can't put a stash aside long enough to hold you over.
Right. So, yeah, he's got to be the only one playing it because he's playing in his 3-wood, the 85 gram, the Rogue ST Triple Diamond T High Launch. So he goes 16 degree, and then he goes high lofted, well, higher lofted. Fairway Wood comes in again with the SD Triple Diamond T 18 degree. But this one he actually plays the Graphite Design Tour ADDI 8X. So this is a shaft that he actually wants to get a little bit more loft in. So he may not go into the 21 degree like some of those guys do, but he puts a shaft in there that,
yeah,
it gets him probably a little bit more height and a little bit more spin in that. Then the Apex UT, 21 degree, just a solid driving iron. Mm. And then he goes to the Callaway Apex TCB. The shafts or the clubs that he basically introduced when he came over to Callaway.
No, that's a good sign, though.
Yeah. He's still playing them. And there's a lot of guys that are playing. They're actually a really solid iron. I would say probably the best iron that Callaway has out right now in line as far as feel and performance. But in the UT he has a KBS Tour hybrid prototype, 105X. And then he's got his Project 125, 6.5s in there in his fourth through pitching wedge. And he actually does have a pretty solid wedge setup, even though it is Callaway. just messing, Callaway. Your Jaws wedges were good, but he's got the Jaws forged in the 52-10, the 56-12, and the 60-10. So he plays a pretty standard bounce all the way around.
Yeah.
He does have some, because we looked at it, right? And it does have like some grind on it. And I think when we were doing this in the last time when he won, or we talked about that, he does do a little bit of grind on his 60 degree. So it's not a true like 60 forged. He does some toe and heel grind and does some things on it just to get it up.
Turns it into a T grind.
Yeah.
And
not quite as aggressive. And then his Odyssey Rossi S White Hot.
Yeah.
OG, which I was wondering if he'd stay with for a while there after a while, because he was not putting well for a bit.
Yeah. Well, oh, for sure. Solid bag, though.
Solid bag. Normal stuff for John, but it's cool. We're actually in our banter about John Rahm questioning whether or not his statements from this week were indicators of a move to live toward next year.
Well, and some people have thrown that out, and I thought he would probably be a guy to make that jump anyways, and I was curious as to why he's holding out for so long. But I just feel like all the other rumors and things like that, all things kind of point to him, to be honest. It's really
interesting. I wonder if he's, because you kind of heard this from a couple of guys, right? That like Mickelson was trying to recruit while he was still playing on the tour, which is one of the reasons he got in so much trouble, right? So you wonder if Rahm's like, hey, I'm going to just stay on the tour and do some things behind the scenes to try to make sure that OWGR points are getting there, that they come out and you can play in the majors, that you can figure out a way to play in the Ryder Cup. And I just saw this thing flash up there. Hideki Matsuyama also thinks live tour players should get OWGR points. But we've suspected Hideki for a while. I think they've got a strategic rollout plan that falls in line with a few things. I think they're going to wait till after the Hero Challenge, because both those guys, I think, are Hero Challenge bound, Hideki and John Rahm.
Yeah.
And so I think they've got they. Greg seems to always have a plan, and my guess is he's getting some things in place that addresses some of the concerns for the world ranking points, and then he'll roll out another just like list of three or four guys that is jaw dropping. That's gonna again make it hard for the PGA Tour to kind of dismiss them.
Yeah,
and the other governing bodies. So, but I don't know. I think it was like I said, there was some golf, quite a bit. Good to see Eugenio win. Good to see the young guy, right? Really get a win. That they're like, okay, this is the first guy that wasn't a PGA Tour guy that's a really good player that they recruited for this purpose, and he came up big this week. Made a lot of putts from what I was able to watch with it going to the rain delay in the middle of the night. It doesn't bode well, so I just was able to watch highlights of it because I'm not staying up all night. It doesn't matter what tournament. It's hard to get me to be up at 2-3 o'clock in the morning to watch golf just because my body wants to go to sleep. That's the only reason.
Okay.
So, but I think that's it, folks. I'm going to let Weston go and get some sleep. His kids are wearing him out.
And oh, they totally
want Disneyland and at the beach. But yeah, it's been a good one. I think they've got what did you call it? It's the Zozo. That was a tournament.
The Zozo.
It's Zozo. So we got that one.
Yeah.
Hideki's a defending champion. Is it in Japan? Is that?
I think it is. Yeah.
So that could be something too, right?
I think because it's the Japan tournament, it's going to garner some decent A-listers. So,
yeah, they actually get a pretty good one for the Zozo, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Oh, yep. It's in Japan. Let's see. Trying to think, look at the big names here really quick. Got Ricky Fowler.
Ooh.
Siwoo Kim, Victor Hovland, Cameron Young, Corey Connors, JJ Spawn, Xander, Hideki, Sahith Thagala, Davis Riley, Kurt Kitayama, who's been playing pretty good, Emiliano Grillo. And see if there's any other like really big names. And then a couple good ones. Colin Morikawa, like Chan Jam, Sung J.M., Cam Davis, Tommy Fleetwood. So, I mean, solid players. Like I say, not like your top tournament, but yeah. That may be one reason too, right? That Hideki hasn't left yet. He's like, I want to go play in Japan.
Probably.
And they want him enough that they're like, okay, we'll wait for you until after Japan and after the Hero, and you will be our headliner for the Japanese market once they get there. What they'll do there is they'll roll out Hideki and then they'll roll out a Japanese broadcast partner. Yeah. Like they're close to with Fox here in the US from the rumors, which would be nice.
Yeah.
So, but I think that's really it. I'm going to spare people hearing and having to listen to Weston fall asleep on us and snore and get him so that he's well rested for the rest of his relaxing week. And
yeah,
but you have way too many kids for it to be a relaxing week, bro.
No, people ask me, they're like, hey, how many kids do you have? And all I can say is like a lot.
Like I tell everybody that has a lot of kids, you're a better man than I. I couldn't handle it. I maybe could, but I'm good with where I'm at. And so,
yeah,
but enjoy the nice sunny beach. And you've already been to Disneyland. I don't know if you're going back. Maybe.
No.
Maybe not. Just one day.
No. Just sunny beach now.
Sunny beach. Well, relax and enjoy and be well rested and maybe catch a few highlights of golf in between catching some waves. Or if you can do that anymore. or just a beach bum with a nice tan.
All of it.
But as always, thanks for listening. Until next week, we are out. Thanks for listening to this episode of Birdies and Bogeys. If you enjoyed what you heard, please subscribe, leave us a rating and review, and until next time, have a great week.